Good afternoon, planet Earth. Good afternoon to baseball fanatics and sports addicts and runners on the show. Good afternoon. You're on the go. You're chasing your dream. You're chasing the dream. Like a mad scheme. You're running up that hill. Good afternoon to the bicyclists on your fancy bikes. Oh yeah, you're going up that hill to see old Gravy Bill, to buy yourself raccoon soup and special kinds of squirrel droppings. Good afternoon. It is Sunday, April the Sith, named after Sith lords who drive shitty Fords. It is April the Sith, April the Sith, 2025, and you are still alive. You're still alive. Yeah. Can you believe it? It's right around 4:30 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. The bear and the cougar and the salmon and the eagle are preparing for their spiritual madness. The Bigfoot is trekking about up there in the woods, picking the crack of his butt, worried about the price of stocks. The chicken farmers are laying eggs. The cattle people are eating bacon. The pig folk and the orange groves are wasting away. And it's not okay. Okay, but I have a fortune for you today. It is a fortune from Tendy's Chinese food restaurant in Port Angeles. Tendy's, where you can get real live A&W style, sweet and sour, whatever. I don't know what it is, but it was once alive, and now it's A&W style, sweet and sour from Tendy's. Here's your fortune. Here is your racist fucking fortune. What's the fortune? Dan, can't believe you. Well, there you go. You can believe it now, baby. We're all fortune. We're all fortunate. Have a fucking fortunes. Let's read it. Dan, you can't go there. I can't. Investigate new possibilities for travel with friends. That is a list of things I will not be doing anytime soon. Be traveling with friends. I won't be traveling on a jet airplane or on a ship at a fast clip, heading across the sea to find my friend Billy McGee. We'll go to Copenhagen. We'll have kringla. We'll visit Tivoli. Yeah. We'll go to Christiania with my friend Billy McGee. I don't need to travel and see new friends, motherfucker. That's like the worst advice. I mean, some of these fortunes kind of seem like psychological warfare. And so this is like a list of things. I will investigate new possibilities. I will do that, but not for travel with friends, because any friends I have are probably not traveling anywhere, and definitely not traveling with Mr. Fed Magnet. So no, I don't think that'll be happening. I fuck the queen. I fuck the queen. I gave her AIDS. I fuck the queen. I gave the queen AIDS. My AIDS is special. You pick at it every day. You put it into jars. The scabs are A-OK. You can make a soup. You can make a taco. You can make a keto salad from my AIDS. I fucked the queen and gave her AIDS. Okay, next topic. Oh, this entry is an entry about Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, former president of Mexico, and it is published on Britannica.com. Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, born February the 21st, 1794, in Jalapa, Mexico, dying June the 21st, 1876, in Mexico City. He was a Mexican army officer and a statesman who was the storm center of Mexico's politics during such events as the Texas Revolution, 1835 to 1836, and the Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848. The son of a minor colonial official, Santa Anna served in the Spanish army and rose to the rank of captain. He fought on both sides of nearly every issue of the day. In 1821, he supported Agustin de Iturbide, I don't care, and the war for Mexican independence, yay. But in 1823, he helped overthrow the guy's name that no one can pronounce. In 1828, he backed Vicente Guerrero for president, only to help depose him later. Man, that's a fair-weather friend. Santa Anna gained much prestige in 1829 when he fought against Spain's attempt to reconquer Mexico, and he became known as the hero of Tampico. This surge of glory helped him gain the presidency in 1833 as a Federalist and opponent of the Roman Catholic Church. I kind of like this guy. In actuality, however, he established a centralized state. Yeah, I don't really like that. He remained in power until 1836, when he marched into Texas to quell a rebellion by primarily U.S. settlers there. During the course of this punitive expedition, Texas declared its independence from Mexico. After his army had defeated the Texan forces at Alamo and Goliad, Santa Anna then moved eastward to the San Jacinto River, where he was defeated on April the 21st in the Battle of San Jacinto and was captured by General Sam Houston. After signing a public treaty ending the war and a secret treaty in which he promised to do everything he could to ensure that the Mexican government adhered to the public treaty, Santa Anna was sent... What the fuck? He signed a public treaty. Yeah, that's funny. There you go. He was deposed, blah, blah, blah. In 1838, blah, 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 the French Navy seized Veracruz, blah, blah, blah. Demanding, blah, blah. This is so much bullshit. So, one of the ideas that occurred to me the other day is the possibility... And it really wasn't the other day. It's been about a year now. I've been thinking on this a lot because it seems like a pattern. And it seems like a skill. It's not a good skill. It's an evil skill. It's a skill that grifters and con artists and demons get good at. But this particular skill is this ability to set up a straw man. Could be, you know, whatever, Santa Anna. Could be, you know, General Noriega. Could be Uncle Ukulele, to be honest with you. Uncle Ukulele should be looking over his shoulders about Papa Blump. It was definitely a lot of these people. Colonel Gaddafi, Assad, Saddam Hussein. And in some ways, the story of Santa Anna and the story of Saddam Hussein is very similar. Because you have this initial event, the Texas Rebellion, kind of like the first Gulf War. And then you have the comeback of the evil forces of the Empire, aka the Straw Man. And America can come in and save the day. And at a much smaller scale, we did this with indigenous tribes across North America from the signing of the Constitution until, well, until we basically killed enough people. We are good at creating demons. We are really good. Our government is really good at creating monsters. It kind of makes you wonder about Adolf Hitler, really. It makes you wonder about Mao Zedong. It makes you wonder about Joseph Stalin. Like, you want to believe these are independent people who kind of rose up to do whatever bullshit they're going to do. But then we've talked about imploding incubators. And it's also possible, like Scientology and other MKUltra bullshit, that these are created things. That Adolf Hitler was constructed. He was built on purpose, for the purpose he served. And then he was meant to be destroyed, but who knows? Malay says he went to Argentina. Who knows? I mean, right now there's so much smoke, it's kind of hard to see anything, including daylight. And it's nearly impossible to see the truth. There's so much smoke right now. And you could contend that the smoke's going to go away and that the summer's going to be nice. You can even play pretend that the worst thing that happens this year is the LA fires. And I hate to break it to you, but that's probably not true. Something really horrible is about to happen. This isn't a matter of ESP or talking to aliens or Bigfoot. This isn't even special. A lot of people who I know have the same idea, the same sensation. Something really shitty is about to happen. And Trump, whatever the fuck he is, serves a purpose. He's a giant column of smoke. But yeah, I wonder about Santa Anna. Like, was he kind of the Saddam Hussein of the day? Set him up. Set him up. Set up that straw man. Set him up real high so you can knock him over. Who knows? And to be honest, remember the Alamo? Feels a lot like never forget. It's the kind of thing people say over and over again when they're lying to you. They do that. You know, it's the thing they do. It's kind of like making kids do the Pledge of Allegiance, which is not an American thing. Prior to, I think I would say, the 20th century, if not the 1950s, there was no Pledge of Allegiance. And frankly, public schools were run locally, so there would be no forcing people to do it. And then over time, especially eventually with the Department of Education, a lot of these things got forced on people. But the Pledge of Allegiance serves a purpose. It indoctrinates. You say it over and over again, and you can be convinced you're on the good side, when in fact, you're giving people bombs to blow up babies, to tear families apart, when in fact, you have a president that posts snuff flicks on social media. And that's if you assume any of this is true. You see, for me, it's all smoke, but for you, it's real. He's either literally Hitler, or he's a savior, which is another way of saying, what if our most recent Saddam Hussein, what if our most recent straw man, what if the guy who's being set up just like a Santa Anna, in, you know, on a bad day in Tampico, or rather San Jacinto, what if it's Papa Blumpity Blump? What if his purpose is to be the straw man? Because he's absurd. He does absurd shit. He talks about taking Greenland from Denmark. Why? What would be the purpose? Like, what would be the purpose of doing that? What would be the purpose of taking back the Panama Canal? What would you gain from that? You know, the tariffs, they're funny. But in reality, what's their purpose? And the idea that you're going to take all the national parks and all the national forests and everything and turn it into a giant endowment fund, well, okay. But we all know what that means. People that you know, who are crony friends, if you're real Papa Blumpity Blump, crony friends of yours will get the property. That's what will happen. But what if he is just a column of smoke? I, for one, have been pushing the envelope, and I really have. It's like a lot of these Zionists who come out and say, we'll get you fired. But I've been pushing the envelope where I probably should get fired. But I've gotten no feedback like that. I'm kind of thinking that I am right. That we're in that popping smoke phase where within limits, almost anything goes. Like I could probably start sending emails that use certain keywords about Papa Blumpity Blump and nothing would happen. And that tells you where we're at in the game. What if Papa Blumpity Blump is our Saddam Hussein? What if Papa Blumpity Blump is our Yeltsin, our Saddam Hussein, our straw man, our General Noriega? What if his purpose is simply to collapse, along with, you know, the United States Empire? And then who knows what rats and maggots and other creatures crawl out of the cracks to steal and take what's left? Who knows? We'll see. But the history of setting up straw men, this is, in some ways, it's kind of like saying anthropology is the history of fraud. It really is. Anthropology is the history of fraud, and the history of this country is kind of like about these straw men, these boogeymen, these monsters we set up right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. And maybe we were free for a couple years, maybe 5 years, maybe. But then almost inevitably, somebody had to tell us that our freedom wasn't free, and we needed an army, and we needed a bank, and we needed to go into debt, and we needed to steal other people's property so we could become big and powerful. So really, when you think about it, the Santa Ana thing ain't that much of a fucking stretch. That he could have been set up. Either completely manufactured or per the capabilities of the 19th century, simply somebody directed towards a goal, pushed that way, so we could save the day. We could save the day. Remember the Alamo. Remember Goliad. Remember San Jacinto, where we, you know... I'll leave it there. It's so stupid. And I'm a moron, too. I am at a point in my life where, within limits, if I could set fire to everything, I would. And I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt myself, but all of this is so insane in the darkest way possible that I just want to wake people up. There's no waking them up to get them aware of what's going on. The people that supposedly are intelligent and aware are the most deceived, and the very few that know what's going on are quiet and are not saying anything. And in all of this, it seems like the Yeats poem, doesn't it? You know, the best of us, the worst of us. The best of us shut the fuck up, and the worst of us go around screaming and yelling. I'm paraphrasing. It's easier to believe that Trump is Hitler. It's easier to believe that Trump is a savior. It's easy to believe that there's a magical suck-and-fuck prison in El Salvador called CECOT, when in fact, if you know the history of those countries, it's more likely a mass grave. You know, oh, Dan, really? Yeah. Read a fucking book, retard. Dan, I can't believe you. Yeah, read a book. If you know the history of Latin American politics of the last 50 years, the most likely reality is people spend about 5 or 6 months slowly starving to death, being tortured, and then their bodies just get dumped someplace. That's CECOT. So if you're sending somebody there, to quote the president ukulele, you're sending them there to die. That's literally a death camp. And that's if I can even for a moment believe the bullshit that a lot of people need to believe. But they need to. Because if for a moment you have to ask the question, what are they hiding? Then frankly, it gets scarier, doesn't it? If you ask that question, it's like permafrost. If you accept the current definition, any old shit that's been frozen for at least 2 years, that's again, if any old chunk of shit has been frozen for at least 2 years, it's permafrost. But that's completely not the definition. Actually, it's made up of permanently frozen. And the word permanent means longer than 2 years. It actually means longer than 20. It probably means longer than 2000. In reality, it means forever, or at least as far as forever matters, which means that through multiple ice ages and multiple thaws, going back probably 250,000 years at least, there are layers of permafrost that have been frozen, which means there are layers of frozen methane, frozen ice, deep below the permafrost that could be as old as 500,000 years. And all of it's thawing out. That's not linear, is it? So tell people permafrost is frozen for at least 2 years. They can go back to sleep in their retarded brains, and they can pretend everything's okay and everything isn't. And if the liberal needs to hear, oh my God, it's because people, the poor people are going to Walmart and eating. No, it's not. No. Don't parrot the old story, the old lie. Stop it. We all need to stop it, because eventually we could be the person that gets targeted. And so it's really easy to say it's the poor people. The poor people starting fires in the Arctic. The poor people set fire to LA. It's hobos with big lighters. That's an easy, convenient opinion. And then you can convince yourself the best solution, like cleaning up the brush in the forest. Huh, there used to be a microbiome that did that. That's the quiet part out loud. But yeah, go around the forest and clean up twigs. They can apply the same logic to the homeless who might have been their neighbors at some point. In the past, might have been their neighbors, but now they're on the streets. Why don't we send them to El Salvador also? You know, to Alex Jones and Eric Prince's magical getaway camp. That's right. So I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird place. I have this argument in my head that I could choose normality if I wanted to. If I wanted to. I saw this movie recently. It's called Bliss. And the premise of the movie, in a way, is that we're all in a simulation. But at the end of the movie, you're left with this idea that no, the dude was just a drug addict and crazy. And either could be true. And in some ways, I feel like that was also kind of a gaslight. Like, there are a lot of people right now, whether they're sober or not, whether they drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, or just exercise and take in natural vitamins and methylene blue. There are a lot of people right now high on their own spice, whatever their spice is, and they're very confused. For some people, their spice is watching Fox News. For some people, their spice is hating on Trump. But they're high on their own monkey spice, and I really don't give a fuck. But the key point is, they're high. Which means maybe they can't see reality, maybe they can. And then you can come back and say, well, the people that see reality, we will accuse them of being confused, of not being sober-minded. Show me one sober-minded person in the United States of America right now. Show me one adult who's sober-minded. I guarantee you, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Everybody is that crazy. Somewhere on the spectrum, that crazy. Definitely to include me and everybody I know. And the best thing people can think of is, in that figurative sense, to bury their heads in the sand. And I can't blame them. Why not? But don't get on your high horse. Don't start telling people, well, you know, Dan, you know, maybe it's because of this or because of that. Maybe it's because of everything. Maybe you're listing shit that's always been true. I see things more clearly now than I ever did. That doesn't mean I'm healthy. That doesn't mean I'm sane. But I see things more clearly today than at any point in my life. Ever. And I would love to have normality. I would love to somehow figure out a way to get back to a world where, who knows, maybe I'm programming computers again and getting paid those good bucks and living in some type of pod and eating Festus oil, you know, and going down to Scrubley's to get my Grimulac cube. The purple one's out this week. It's the sleekest thing you ever saw. They dig it from the earth where the demons give birth. Oh, it's the life the normal life working for Microsoft. No, I don't need that. But I can't do it. I can't. It's almost like there's this part of your brain that does work like an immune system. And once you get smart enough to figure out bullshit from not bullshit, you can't really fight it. It's going to take over. I would love to look at that world and say, boy, I can see myself in that world. And, you know, the paying of taxes and the having relationships with random people and going out and having fun. But I can't see it. And I don't respect anybody that does. The people that claim to see it are either the fakers, and that's pretty much the internet right now, a lot of fakers. And you can add me if you want to, slick. It's the fakers, or if they're real people, they see what they need to see. If they need to see a blue sky, they pick up their smart device. If they need to see a cloud like they used to, they pick up their smart device. They don't want to see beyond the glowing rectangle because it's a horror show. And it's not going to get better. It's like the stock market. I will tell you something. If you believe in the buy the dip thing, you probably should. Not because I can give you any good financial advice, but the stock market is going to fluctuate, go up, go down, but definitely will go up long after there's no food at the grocery store, in my opinion. They will push the lie right until the end. Or another way of putting it, everything's going to fail right about the same time, and that's by design. I've said this for several years. Imagine you're in a Pontiac GTO driving 120 miles an hour. And you hit a reinforced steel, titanium, reinforced brick wall. Okay, that's your soft landing. That's your best case scenario. That's what it's going to feel like. And you could say, well, nobody survives that. So in the statistical sense, you have to ask yourself, is there a likelihood that you could make it through that type of event in economic socioeconomic terms? Take, for example, we have several generations of people that were basically educated in the public schools and beyond that by popular culture. And a lot of them, maybe even most of them, have really no decent moral compass. So you take away their smart device, you take away the social media, you take away the electricity, and then the food gets scarce. What do you think happens? Do you think these people rise to the occasion because they read the classics and have a depth of understanding? Or do you think they operate on the basest level possible? And I think it's more likely the latter than the former. And that's just one of the challenges you face in the coming future, that a lot of your neighbors do not, it's not that they don't know the difference between right and wrong, they don't even know how to begin to ask the fucking questions because they've had this quote-unquote luxury of being told what right and wrong is by their favorite hero, whether it's Poppity Blumpity Blump or Hillary Clibblob or any of the other Clamula Scamulas. They had somebody who could tell them what was right and what was wrong. So what do? When they can't tap into Joe Rogaine? You think they rise to the occasion? I don't know. I think the turd sinks. It really does. Sunday. It's just after 5 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. The creatures that live on the earth and tunnel through the earth, the fish and the bear and the salmon, the hawk, the eagle, the crow, the raccoon and the squirrel, the marmot and the deer, the elk and the moose, the old spirits and the new ones, They're watching over you. They're stealing your passwords. They're selling them to Nigerians. Have a great rest of your Sunday.